What's up, man? Hey, so on the spot, give me three of your favorite fast food places. Like, man, you got to go right now, and you're going to go up the road and go get something to eat. What you doing?
I'm going to get the $6 biggie bag from Wendy's. I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A, and then probably Kane's.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be the Jesus Chicken. I don't know, man. My spot's Whataburger, and, I mean, Chick-fil-A is pretty good. I think, you know, I don't know. Wendy's been messing me up. I don't know what it is about that. But
does Firehouse count as fast food?
I don't know. It's hard with sub places. I feel like to truly count as fast food, it's got to have a drive-thru. And the ones that we be going to don't have drive-thrus. So.
Well, there's some Firehouses that have drive-thrus.
There are some. I would consider those locations fast food.
Okay, if it has a drive-thru, then Firehouse is on the top of the list.
Yeah, we got to love Firehouse. Our wives don't like Firehouse, so there's that. That's unfortunate.
Well, I'm Chris.
And I'm Michael.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. Well, buddy, it's another week, another great episode, man. We're already in May, dude, and this year is flying by fast. But, hey, May the 4th be with you. Just kidding. That happened a couple days ago. But I love Star Wars. I know. My favorite will always forever be Revenge of the Sith. It just has a special place in my heart. I know it's not the best one, but I think it's the nostalgia.
Have you seen that dude who does the Star Wars paintings, but what he'll do is, like, he'll have, like, a TIE fighter or something, and it'll be a, you know, a beam that'll be coming out, like, it's firing its weapon, and wherever it hits on the frame, like, he'll, like, burn the frame or make it look like it actually hit the edge of the frame, like it's actually shooting it.
Oh, that's really cool, man. There's so many Star Wars things that have come out. With Disney buying it, man, they really franchised it. I think, from what I heard, George Lucas is, like, one of the richest entertainment people in the world just because of all the money that he's made off of Star Wars. I mean, Disney bought him out, but at the same time, it's like, bro, like, he's rich.
And it's amazing that nobody thought it was going to make it at the beginning. So, it becomes one of the largest franchises ever.
Yeah, but think about it. Dude, have you tried to watch Dune? Have you ever tried to watch that movie?
No, I haven't.
Well, it gives me, like, Star Wars vibes because I'm, like, watching it and I'm like, what is this? And I'm pretty sure that's how people in 1977 felt about the first Star Wars. But anyways, welcome to the Donut Box Podcast. I'm Chris. This is Micah. And we are going to get started with our first ever old-fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. Now, I'm going to let Micah take over here in a minute. But growing up in my neighborhood, we didn't really have a whole bunch of kids. That hung out. So I didn't really know too many of my neighbors. I could maybe name to you like five neighbors that I knew off the bat.
Here, I do want to shout out one, right? Old Chris Cunningham. We're going to say his name on here. That was one of the neighbors in your neighborhood, I remember.
Yeah, he was the only actual kid that I like got to hang. Well, that's not true. There was another one, but I'm not going to talk about it because I could make jokes. Forever and ever.
For your brother's sake.
But I remember that Micah came over and he thought it was the coolest thing. And he asked the dad, because the dad's name was Vince. And he was like, Mr. Vince, are you guys related to Randall Cunningham? And he was like, yeah. He was like, that's my cousin. I was like, bro, you probably wasn't related to him. He was just telling you that.
No, he just letting you know. And the other thing that I remember was... Oh, Chris, he was a jokester, man. I remember they had, like, this little bitty dog, like a chihuahua or whatever, and we were outside, and I think I, like, accidentally bumped the dog, and it, like, or, like, stepped on its paw or something, and, of course, it, like, yelped. And I remember Chris Cunningham went over there, and he grabbed that little dog, and he was like, oh, my God, you broke his leg. And, like, made this whole thing and was like, you know what? You're going to have to pay for that. And I was freaking out. Like, I was, like, third or fourth grade, right? So I was like, oh, my God, I broke this dog's leg. And, like, they're going to be pissed. And he's like, nah, I'm screwed with you. It's fine. he had me going, bro.
I do remember one time I was telling Chris about how I liked this girl at school. And I was like, yeah, man. And he was like, you got to bulk up, bro. He was like, you got to bulk up. Get her attention. And I was like, okay. So I was like doing push-ups on the tire of his dad's truck, bro. And I just remember being like, man, I ain't ever gonna get this girl. And he was like, you can't think like that, man. He was like, "You can't think like that, bro." And he was hyping me up the whole time. I miss that guy. But
Yeah,
anyways,
shout out to that dude. Old Chris Cunningham.
we're gonna talk about Micah's neighborhood, because I hung out at Micah's house way more than he hung out at my house. That was basically like my second home growing up. And Micah lived there for pretty much the whole time while he was in Georgia. So people moved in and out of that neighborhood. And so this is where I'll let you pick up.
Yeah, and this neighborhood, it was full of townhouses, so it was split in the middle, you know, and basically the floor plan on each side was identical, and it was old. It was owned by like this elderly couple. Pretty much, they had built the houses in the 70s by hand. It was like the guy had built it with his sons, like each one of them. And so at first, everything was pretty cool. It was a nice, it was like in the nice part of town and everything. It was pretty cool. And 'cause wouldn't you say when I moved to Augusta, that was probably, I wouldn't say like the prime area, but it was definitely a really good area.
Oh yeah, I would say that was the really good prime area, and then it just started growing more like towards, I guess it's north. I don't really
Like
know.
Grovetown, kind of like out of Martinez into like out of Evans, Grovetown, like it kind of just grew over. Anyways, so this was like a really nice area, and pretty much a lot of these neighbors were, so my father was in the military, and so a lot of these people were military folks. Like they would move in, they would move out, that sort of thing at first, right? I think part of what happened, if I remember correctly, some of the kids, just like the prodigal son kids, they were like, I want my inheritance now, which meant like they had certain houses split up to different kids, right? So I think that's kind of when it
You're talking
started,
about the owner's kids,
right? The
right?
owner of the townhomes kids, basically those kids were like, I want my inheritance. And so they like split the houses up. And so ours was still owned by that elderly couple, but there was several others like across the way, and it was like Chris said, it was a cul-de-sac, but it was different than every other cul-de-sac I've ever seen. I've never been to a cul-de-sac since that has a grass like circle in the middle of it. Have you?
Yeah, no, I haven't ever. And the cul-de-sac, man, it has this large grass circle, like it's the size of the cul-de-sac, and you just it's all more like a roundabout, I guess you would say.
Yeah, it was like a roundabout with grass in the middle. It's something again like I've never seen since. And but anyways, people, all the houses were like directly across from us across this grass circle. And so after a while, things started kind of getting a little weird. I think one thing was the rent never changed. So as you know, time went on and inflation happened, I actually remember how much they were paying for rent. You ready for this? And now granted, this was like we're talking about 2003 all the way up to
2013.
2013. But they were paying, I think it was like 600 a month, something like
Ooh,
that, for
that's good.
that
And back then,
townhome.
that was pretty pricey.
Yeah, that was pretty pricey back then. But I think by the time we were leaving, that was kind of not pricey anymore, right? And so I think that's kind of where the shift happened. But certain people started moving in. And everything was fine at first, but then we started seeing some like weird activity, right? And one of the biggest things, Chris, how would you describe it? I'll let you set that up.
It's drug activity, basically. So, towards the end, that neighborhood was known for drugs. And I've told the story about how I got pulled over because I came out of that neighborhood. And they were like, oh, yeah, he was there to buy drugs. You can go back and listen to that story. But we did have a neighbor that, or they had a neighbor that, of course, they put the green light bulb, I think, on their porch. And so people were coming in and out of that house to buy drugs.
Yeah, out of in and out of that house, and then and we're not talking about just regular old drugs like, you know, marijuana. We're talking about like some heavier stuff, yeah, for sure. And it was kind of a triangle that happened because there was the house that was right next door to us to our right. The people that lived there, you remember that blonde lady and her husband that was like in and out of jail, and like they had that really dumb kid. I think his name was Eli or some crap like that. There was those folks, and then there was another like couple that was across the way, like literally across from them, and then that house with the green light on it. And they were kind of the triangle. Like, one of them was manufacturing, the other one was doing stuff with the money. You definitely could tell that they were all kind of operating together, especially because I remember we had a neighbor to our left who had a kid, and that Eli kid or whatever his name was, I hit his kid. And so the moment that cops were called and they're like, yeah, I'm calling the police, I remember all three houses, they were like running trash bags worth of stuff like across the street. Like, as fast as they could, they were like just taking trash bags worth of stuff like to the other houses. And it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So tell about a couple of the neighbors that lived there that we remember.
Man, so one of my favorite times in the neighborhood was when there was a time where your mom would drop you off before we would go to church on Thursday nights. And so after school, you would be able to hang out with us for a little bit. And we got to talk about old Zach. We've already talked about old Zach before, but we're going to get into Zach and Cody, not the TV show. But there were two people named Zach and Cody. But
So Zach was like, again, he was our age, but he was this preppy kid. And I remember we invited him to hang out with us at the mall a couple of times, and he did. And I just remember he was like so obsessed with Starbucks. Like, this was before Starbucks became a thing. Like, back then, yeah, back then, like getting Starbucks was like the cool thing to do. Like, you were a cool kid if you got Starbucks, and you just be like, yeah, no, whatever. But I remember he would hang out with us on Thursdays, and then I don't know, we were just bored and we liked to play outside. So we grabbed these sticks and we had like almost like this jousting or sword fighting competition. And then there was this one time it was really cold and we went like, I guess behind Zach's house there was like this icy pond or whatever. And we thought it was a good idea to run across it in the middle of January, and it was cold, cold. I remember running across it and I lost my shoe. And Zach wasn't the brightest kid. And the other kid, Cody, was not the brightest kid either. I swear that kid was high half the time I interacted.
bro, it was more than half the time. It was probably every time you interacted with him. Running across that icy pond, just going back to that, I was so shocked with Chris. Because you got to think, at this time, for the most part, Chris has been pretty timid and whatnot, right? And so we get to this icy pond, and the one thing about Zach, he would like to provoke people, or he liked to try to, get people to do things. And so one of the things he was like, yeah, I bet you won't run across this icy pond. And so like I'm arguing with him, like, yeah, man, you're crazy. And I just see Chris just bolting across this thing. Like we're talking about it. And here goes Chris. I'm like, dude, what is he doing? And that's when he loses his shoe in the middle and it's like, ah, oh, man. Cause the thing is, if you remember, what did Zach say at that point? He's like, well, I'm not going across it. Like he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but I was like, well, it's time for me to just step out and do it. And like now I'm a lot like that now. Like I'm just like, okay, like at man camp, they were like, I bet you they were daring other people to like slide down the slide like head first. It was this big slide. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Like I don't care. Like if I'm not gonna get seriously hurt, then I don't care. Like I'll do it. I like taking
Yeah,
risks.
for sure. What I think was crazy is you try to run across and get the shoe back, but the hard part is you're trying to run as fast as you can. You don't want to stop because it was also muddy, so you would like sink in, and you got to think he doesn't have a shoe on. So I just remember you try to grab it and you didn't, and you like so you get back to land, and then I remember that's when I went in to try to get it, and I think we had some trouble. Anyways, we thought we had frostbite. After that, but we didn't, thank God. Some of the other stories, just briefly. One of my, we were talking about Cody. We've talked about this one before too. Speaking of Zach provoking people, he told me, he was like, yeah, I bet you won't. I don't even remember what it was, but he was like, bet me, and he kind of made me feel like, oh, you won't do stuff. And so we had broken a skateboard in half. That was the thing to do too. If you had an old skateboard and you would just jump on it in the middle or do stuff to it until it'd break in half. And so I don't remember if it was a dare or if it was just like a idea of mine, but here comes somebody around the circle, right? All the way on the, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I put this broken skateboard out right in front of him, put it right there to make sure the car was going to hit it and everything. He got out hot. He was mad. And I don't even remember what he said. I just remember him being really mad. The part that I do remember is Cody being high as mess. For whatever reason, the catchphrase was Mordecai, and he would just say Mordecai. So he just said Mordecai to the guy, and he was like, "Yeah, your friend's about to get Mordecai'd." That's the only thing that I remember.
Well, yeah, I remember the guy getting out of the car. He's like, "Are you effing stupid?" Like, he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "You kids are just messing around." He was like, "What are you doing putting this in front of a car?" And but I think he apologized to you afterwards because he was like, "Yeah, man, I was having a bad day."
Yeah, it was interesting. One more person that I think needs to be notable is old Shelby. Old Shelby that worked at the club car. That dude, it was funny. We talked about, how the neighborhood had changed, and he was dude was really, really funny, and he was always larger than life. Like, I think the funniest part I remember was he was a South Carolina Gamecock fan, and every time they would play Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs. I remember there was a few years there where South Carolina won. And I kid you not, he would go around to the people in the neighborhood he knew were Georgia fans. And every time South Carolina would score, he would step outside of his front door and he'd just be like, "Gamecocks, baby!" He'd be like yelling across the neighborhood and stuff like that. He'd be rubbing it in people's face. I think the funniest thing that, or not the funniest thing, I think the best thing that I remember, was we couldn't fit everything in the moving truck when we were leaving. And so one of the things we couldn't fit was a toolbox. And I'm not saying it wasn't a nice toolbox, but it was an okay toolbox. It was kind of old, whatnot, right? And I remember it was like, okay, well, I guess we can give it to Shelby because, he likes to work on stuff and that's cool. Bro broke down and cried. Like, he's like, "This is the best gift anybody's ever given to me." And it's just like, we just can't fit it on the truck, man. That's the only like it's like this.
And we were like, "Yeah, you can just do whatever you want with it. Like, if you want to repurpose it, if you want to sell it." He was like, "No, I take my gifts real seriously." He was like, "I ain't giving this up." He was like, "This is serious. I'm taking this serious." Like, he stopped crying and he looked at us like he was mad.
Yeah, he was like stern. He's like, "I take my gifts real serious." Yeah, that dude was something else, man. That dude was something else. Definitely a character. Definitely a character. Well, I'm ready to move on, man, if you are.
Yeah, let's move on. We'll maybe do a part two of this some other
All
time.
right, man. Well, our next segment, the jelly donut.
Yeah, and we actually have a jelly donut this week.
Oh, we do. We're actually talking about the jail report.
Yeah, so it's a jail report, and you're gonna like this. This is actually stories of people getting arrested on airplanes or why they've gotten kicked off of airplanes.
Oh man, there's plenty of these. People be wilding out on planes. I don't understand why, but okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard about probably some of these, but I'm just gonna go over probably five or six.
Which, by the way, shout out to our flight attendants and the customer service folks in the airport. They get yelled at a lot. They get harassed a bunch. So shout out to you guys. It's not an easy job. Go ahead.
Yeah, so apparently this one, an American Airlines passenger flying first class was removed from the flight after attempting to get the drinks in for his pals in economy. So the man had already made a number of requests for alcoholic drinks on behalf of his friends prior to the plane taking off, but was informed that he was only allowed to order one drink at a time. The man insisted that the second drink was for his neighbor before being observed attempting to take both drinks into the economy section for his friends. And I think they confronted with him, and then he got kind of belligerent, and then was, I think he was trying to get let his friends like use the bathroom that was for first class. And so it became a whole thing. And so I don't know if his friends were kicked off, but he was definitely kicked off the flight.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts, man. I don't know. People be trying to take that liberty too much. They're like, "Well, I'm in first class. I'm gonna try to help my friends out." And I mean, I do understand that, but at the same time, if you really want to be with your friends and help them out, just don't fly first class. Be an economy with them and buy drinks back there.
Yeah, I don't understand. But don't you get like so many drinks free if you're in first class, or is it easier to get drinks? I don't know.
You do get it free technically, but at the same time, like, I don't know the situation, right? If you paid for it with miles or like a rewards member or whatever it is. But at the same time, for me, It's like the economy tickets probably just is probably less expensive, and you can just buy as many drinks as you want back there with the money you save just paying for an economy ticket if you paid for it with cash. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, this next one I don't really understand too much, but maybe there's more to the story. A family of four on a JetBlue flight from New York to Las Vegas were kicked off over a birthday cake. The family placed the precious cargo in the overhead bin before being instructed to place it in a second bin and finally to put it on the floor in front of them. The passengers complied, but a second member of cabin crew intervened to contest the cake's location. The situation escalated, resulting in officers being brought in and the entire flight being forced to disembark. The family were left on the tarmac to make alternative travel arrangements. So I don't understand, unless there's more to the story about why they got kicked off. It sounds like, from every report that I read, that they were being compliant and that the flight attendant was, or the flight attendants were just causing
Yeah, well,
confusion.
there's, sometimes people be having some bad days too. And we all know that sometimes flight attendants be, they're like, I ain't gonna take this from you. And it's really not nothing that's, a big deal. But obviously, they didn't do anything too major because, the police were called, but they didn't get detained. Most of the time, when the police get called and you get escorted off, you at least get detained. So if it's like if they got left at the airport, then.
Probably what happened was one flight attendant told them to do something, then another flight attendant told them to do something, and then the third flight attendant told them to do something totally different. And they were like, what do you want? And if I was a people, I'd be getting aggravated. It's like, so what do you want me to do? And then it's probably just escalated, and the flight attendants are like, yeah, we're not dealing with
That's
this.
what I'm thinking too, probably. But obviously, they didn't say anything too crazy. It just sounded like the flight attendants escalated it a little bit there.
Yeah, this next one. A 7-foot-tall professional athlete was ejected from a flight that was bound to Moscow from Siberia for being too tall. Alexander Kimarov was escorted off his flight by police officers after a heated exchange with a flight attendant who alleged that the volleyball player's legs were blocking the aisle. Kimarov, who was flying with the budget airline Pobeda, offered to pay more for a seat upgrade with more leg room, but the offer was refused. The discussion escalated and the police were called. It sounds like the flight attendants were tripping because he was like, hey, like, I'll pay for a seat upgrade. Like, I understand, like, if I need more leg room. And then they were probably like, yeah, no, we're not
There
doing
could
that.
also be too, because a lot of these budget airlines, especially in other countries, man, they won't tell you why they're refusing you. So think about this. If the plane's too small, I know a lot of those Russian airlines still be flying like yaks and stuff, which would definitely be too small for a 7 foot guy. Maybe it's like, man, it don't matter if you buy the extra leg room, you can't fly, but they just didn't give him a reason. And so he got belligerent. That's what I'm thinking. It's just like they didn't give him a reason of like, man, the plane's too small for you to fly and like nothing we can do on that. They just told him like, oh, you can't get on. And it's like, well, can I just buy a bigger seat? It's like, nope, can't get on. And then I'd be mad too. I'd be like, why are you refusing me because I'm tall? Like, that don't make any sense.
Two more. All right. A passenger attempting to travel from Chicago to Orlando with Spirit Airlines, your favorite airline,
Oh, man. Which they're going under.
was removed from a flight because of his quote unquote excessively low jeans. While no skin was exposed, the passenger's jeans were apparently below his backside. A Spirit Airlines spokesperson was reported to say it was to the point where his entire bottom was hanging out, and that's not appropriate. The man was then alleged to become quote unquote unruly and aggressive after being challenged on his attire and was consequently removed from the flight. So he was sagging, and I guess his butt was hanging out, and it was offensive to people, and he got kicked off for being too belligerent.
He was sagging and they were nagging, apparently. Here's my thing though. Spirit, if you're a low budget airline, like I get where some people are coming from, but at the same time, if you charging $9, $19 for a seat one way, what the heck are you expecting, right? I mean, it's virtually a bus for that price. So it's like what do you think it's gonna be? You think it's gonna be people in suits? Like, it ain't gonna be like that.
This is the last one, and this sounds like a Karen to the max. On an American Airlines flight from Philadelphia to Syracuse, Guido Menzio, an Ivy League economist, was reported to the crew for scribbling in his notepad. According to the Washington Post, Menzio's seatmate couldn't figure out what he was writing, so she reported him to the flight staff. As a result, Menzio was asked to leave the plane for questioning, where it was discovered that he was an economist and that his quote-unquote scribblings were just advanced math equations. So he got in trouble for just writing down math equations, and I can just see a Karen being like, oh, he's Italian, so he probably looks Arab to her, and he's writing down stuff I don't understand. I bet you he's writing down bomb codes or something, or how to make a
Oh,
bomb.
that's exactly what it is. Or like trajectory plans, or it's like, oh, he's scheming something. Yeah, that's what she thought.
Yeah, but it's messed up. The dude was just writing math equations, and it's like, man, that makes her look stupid because it's like, yeah, you too stupid to even figure this out.
I'd be mad getting pulled off because somebody basically profiled me because I'm doing advanced math and because I was Italian. It's crazy.
Well, what'd you think of those flight stories of people getting kicked off? I mean, I'm sure you see that stuff all the time.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. I don't understand why people want to be crazy on planes. Of course, you probably heard of some of the other crazy ones too, where that lady was saying the guy in the back of the plane ain't real, and that
Oh yeah,
he
I've
had
seen that one.
gills and stuff like that. And it's like, what'd you take before coming on this flight this morning, lady?
Well, we're gonna move into the next segment, which is the donut hole, and we love to do quizzes. So we have a quiz. This one is just kind of general trivia questions. Half of these are about inventions, half of these are about like entertainment. It's just general trivia questions.
All right, let's see how I do.
Number one, originally the company Amazon only sold what? A, car parts, B, movies, C, books, or D, kitchen supplies.
It was books. I remember books.
Yep, that is correct.
You know, they indoctrinate you when you work at Amazon. You have to know the whole history, and it's a Jeff Bezos fest. Anyways, go ahead.
Next question. What was the original purpose of the tiny pocket in jeans? A, to store loose change, B, to store pocket watches, C, to store mints, or D, to store screws or hardware.
Wasn't it pocket change?
It's actually pocket watches. So I didn't know that.
Pocket watches,
Yeah,
okay.
back in the day. Do you ever use that little small pocket?
No, mainly because it's typically so small to where I couldn't even see it for a pocket watch. I think mainly now because they know you're not going to use it, it's just for aesthetics. They make it real small, but it's so small to where you really can't reach in there and get anything out of it. Once you put it in there, it's kind of inconvenient.
I don't think it's for like the watch itself. I think it's for the chain. Like that's what the chain attaches to.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes
Yeah,
sense.
I've used it a few times if I have like loose change or like I have a key that I need to put back. That happens sometimes at work where I'll just put it in there so I don't forget. Okay. In what year was the internet open to the public? A, 1988, B, 1991, C, 1993, or D, 1997?
It was 91, right?
It's actually 93.
93, okay. It was close.
When did MTV first launch? Okay, so music television. When did the channel first?
Which is not what it is
It's
anymore at
reality
all, but
TV.
go ahead.
A, 1961, B, 1971, C, 1951, or D, 1981?
81?
It is 81. Yep, big on the 80s. And funny enough, MTV actually helped put WrestleMania on the map. So if you look into the first WrestleMania, Cyndi Lauper and all that, and MTV was involved with all that stuff.
Well, didn't know that. Pretty crazy.
Other than the United States, which country was the first to get a Starbucks? A, Japan, B, Germany, C, Australia, or D, Switzerland?
I feel like it was Japan.
That is correct. It is Japan.
Yeah, I don't know how I knew that, but I feel like I've heard that one before.
What is the highest grossing R-rated film in North America? Highest grossing R-rated film. A, Gladiator, B, Pineapple Express, C, Superbad, or D, The Passion of the Christ?
Superbad or Passion of the Christ? Because I know Passion of the Christ was like a big thing. It was like it broke all sorts of stuff there. But wasn't Superbad one of the most popular? We'll do Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, it is actually Passion of the Christ, man. Them Christians love Jesus, and they don't care if it's R-rated or not.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've seen that since, but yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you, man. I've only seen it a handful of times. Like, I it's just hard for me to watch. Like, it really is. Not because it's cheesy or anything, but like just because it's like the emotional weight of it. And I mean, it's accurate because that's the emotional weight that Jesus was carrying around. But like, it's a lot for me to watch.
Oh yeah, it's deep. I didn't go see it in the theaters, but I heard a lot of people say like people were crying and stuff in the theaters. It was bad.
All right, these next few are I guess the rest are about entertainment. All right, who was Walt Disney's favorite princess? A, Snow White, B, Sleeping Beauty, C, Cinderella, or D, Rapunzel?
Cinderella.
Yes, sir. You said that with confidence. Did you know that?
To me, it just seems like they'd be pumping Cinderella, and Cinderella be on a lot of stuff. I don't know how to describe it. It just seems like...
Yeah, well, I guess Cinderella's castle, and they have fireworks at Disney World. Yeah, so I guess that... Which singer holds the most Grammy nominations? A, Jay-Z, B, Beyonce, C, Michael Jackson, or D, Taylor Swift?
Michael Jackson.
Ooh, it's actually Beyonce. Queen B yourself.
Beyonce. Okay.
Before Mike Myers, which SNL, so Saturday Night Live, which SNL performer was originally cast as Shrek? A, Chris Farley, B, Adam Sandler, C, David Spade, or D, Will Ferrell?
It was Chris Farley, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Chris. That would have been weird. I don't think Shrek would have
been
as successful.
Yeah, that
would have been
a really interesting Shrek. Because I can like hear his voice trying to do something like that. And it would have been kind of an eccentric Shrek. I don't know how to describe it, but it kind of would have been a little... It would have been different for sure.
Yeah, I'm not really a Chris Farley guy, man. I'm not.
Well, you kind of don't like... really a lot of that era of SNL because it was like Chris Farley and then you don't really like David Spade either.
Last question. What is the national sport of Canada? A, hockey, B, soccer, C, lacrosse, or D, baseball?
My guess was going to be something totally different that's not on the list. What were the options again?
Hockey, soccer, lacrosse, or baseball?
Let's go with hockey.
It's actually lacrosse, man. I knew hockey was going to trip you up. What'd you think it was?
Yeah. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was going to be something like curling. They love curling up there, like where they throw that big stone down the ice and they have to shave it and do all that stuff.
I'm not going to lie. Even though I can't ice skate, I would really like curling, bro. I really want to try
that sport too. You know that it's really, like if you want to do that on the Olympic level, that it's extremely expensive. So those stones, like those curling stones, they cost... like at a really exorbitant amount of money because it only comes from one source and it has to be a specific type of like rock. It's a real in-depth thing.
That's good to know. Speaking of knowing stuff, we're going to move into our final, not our final segment, strike that, reverse it. We're going to move into our next segment, which is What Fries My Donut. Micah, what's got you all fried up this week?
Man, I tell you, it's been a heck of a week. It's been a heck of a month. Heck, it's been a heck of a year. And I don't know, we've talked about in our eclairs a lot about, you know, needing to take rest. But right now, at least personally, I'm in a season where that's kind of hard to do and take the rest that I need. So what I have noticed more than anything is, you know, I'll catch a nap when I can every now and then, sitting in a chair, whatever, right? Catch a nap when you can. Man, sleep shame is real. Like, people be sleep shaming other people all the time. Be like, oh, he's sleeping. Something must be wrong with him. It's like, no, I'm just tired. Either that or, like, even just yawning. It's like, oh, look at him. He's tired. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, doing a lot of stuff. Why is that, man? And so I really started thinking about it. And what my main problem with that is, you know, the fruit of the problem. The root of the problem, Christopher, if I'm going back to my preaching days, the root of the problem is the fact that we're in a burnout culture still, and especially the older generations are like this. It's a badge of honor to burn yourself out and be tired and still be able to continue and move on. And the fact that you're sleeping or the fact that whatever, it's a subtle sign of weakness, and that's how people take it. And I think that's garbage. That really aggravates me. And I mean, think about it, man. Think about how many times a lot of those same people that'll talk about, oh man, he's sleeping, something must be wrong, that sort of thing, those are the same people that it's like, oh yeah, well, I'm having this problem. It's like, oh yeah, well, I've had that same problem 20 years. It's like, okay, well, that, I'm sorry that you've been going through that, and you probably should have fixed that by now. I'm, you know, it's kind of that same thing. It's almost, again, it's like that badge of honor for being burnt out and working too hard and doing too much what you're supposed to do, and you're just supposed to take it, keep on going. And the fact that you're tired is weak. What do you have to say about that?
To add on to it, not only the fact that you take a nap, but people that are like, "Oh, you slept until 10 o'clock. That's the morning's wasted. You wasted the day away." And it's, but here's my thing, man. Some people are more productive at 3 a.m. or not 3 a.m. 3 in the afternoon, man. Like some people, they are more productive at night. So to me, if you're being productive and you're getting work done and you're not being lazy, like you don't have to wake up at 5 o'clock a.m. to be successful or to be like a hustler or a go-getter. Maybe your prime time is like working at night. Like maybe that is just your prime time. And I hate when people are like, "Oh my gosh, you slept in." Like, and I'll be like, "Yeah, I slept till 8. Oh my gosh, half the day has gone away." Like, you know who we're talking about. But it's like, yeah, you go to bed at, it's like you wake up at 5 a.m., but you, yeah,
7,
but
8
you,
o'clock at night. It's like I was up till 11, 12
yeah.
having to do
So it's
stuff.
kind of like, man, maybe I just wake up at 10 and I don't go to bed till midnight, but I'm still getting stuff done. It's just not when you, like, not when you do stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of that stuff, man. It's a lot of that same feeling of, well, I had to go through it, so you need to go through it as well. Like that stuff bothers me too. It's like, well, maybe times are changing, huh? Maybe because you went through a crappy situation, why don't I need to go to the crappy situation too? And it's a lot of times it's because you're held to that standard because somebody else went through the pain, they want you to go through it too, whatever it is. It's just aggravating, man, because it's like a lot of these people, they don't need to be like that. They can say, I took it on the chin. I'm glad this generation doesn't have to, or whatever the case may be, right? But it's a little different.
We've talked about this, like, but in Europe, it is a slower pace, right? When you have a meal, it's 2, 3 hours. Then, like, from, I think from 2 o'clock, or maybe it's 1 o'clock, from like 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, the whole city and the whole town shuts down and people take naps and then they reopen their business for dinner time because they're like, "Hey, we're gonna slow down. We're gonna take a slower pace." So I think we should normalize naps because you get more productivity out of people.
And it's the same thing with now this would never work in the States because a lot of people like their convenience, but like Sundays in Europe, it's like don't even bother trying to go out and go to a store or a restaurant. It's like everybody's closed, everybody's with their families, everybody's doing like they very much prioritize being having your free time and having a work life balance and I think that's really important and something that we're missing for sure.
Yeah, real quick, and then we can go to the next segment. But have you seen the companies that are like unlimited PTO, right? They have the unlimited PTO, and they were like, and a lot of people are like, "Oh my gosh." But then they found out that like people still use the same amount of PTO that they were using when it was limited. So it's like, that's not a, I don't know. I would love to, bro. There are some people that would abuse the system for sure, but I would love unlimited PTO.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I think for the most part, when you have that much work, it's you got to do your work or else you're going to get fired too. So yeah, unlimited PTO is great, but still got to do the
Yeah,
work.
it's hard because I just got an extra week of vacation this year, and I'm like, I don't know when I'm gonna take it. I'm like, I got
Right?
so much to
Or
do.
what you going to do with it, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is bad. But anyways, we can move into our next segment, which is the mystery donut, and that's our improv segment. And Michael, what do we got on the?
We got the randomizer. So we're going to do something. We're going to plug it into the randomizer and we're going to see what it comes out with. So, Chris, I'm thinking that we're going to do a profession of some kind. So, somebody in a certain profession at a certain location doing some sort of emotion and we'll go from there. How about that? All right. So the profession is an acrobat. What do you think of that? An acrobat in the catacombs.
Let's change the location. The catac people don't know what the catacombs are.
That's where all the French, dead French folks are. In a water tower, on a water tower, in a curious mood. All right, you ready?
Oh, Mr. Kwan, I wonder what's gonna happen if I do a backflip off this water tower. It's a long way down and there's no net to catch me.
What, you scared? You scared, little boy? You can't do it? You can't jump? You call yourself a Kwan?
Oh, I ain't as scared as you when you tried to do the triple backflip. Remember at the circus? Oh, you are the circus. They come to see the clown, and that was you.
You called me clown? You more, no. You the bad one. You the bad one at this circus. You got me so mad I can't even speak right now. Oh, you got me so mad.
Mr. Kim, you got me curious. I want to know why you feeling this way. Why you so mad that you so mad about this, but you ain't as mad about your daughter failing art school. You mad.
We're not talking about daughter failing art school. We're talking about how you are not being Kwan. Like, you are not being family Kwan. You are not doing this. You are not jumping off water tower. Your father would have done this. No problem.
I jump off this water tower right now, but I ain't trying to ultimately run to my death. But it sound like you already dead anyway because you bring dishonor to your family with your daughter failing art school.
You don't want to fail art school. You don't want to fail being a doctor. That's why you have to be acrobat.
Well, it sound like you failed too because you acrobat too.
We're not talking about me. We're talking about you. Your father, he would be disappointed. He'd be rolling in grave. You not jump off this water tower.
Well, as much as I would like to take your verbal abuse, I am tired of hearing you run your mouth. So I think I am just going to go ahead and jump off this water tower so I can get away from you.
Remove your safety harness is what I will do. That way you can go over there and you can't run your mouth no more.
Oh, then my family sue you for wrongful death.
They won't get no money. Because like you said, I acrobated. My daughter fell art school. I have no money.
And that was our improv segment. Love it. Like it. Good. Now I'm just remembering. You remember that?
Good luck getting the money out of me.
Amen. I was like, bro, that bringing back some wrongful death suits from the WWE. You know, that's what happened to one of the wrestlers. Like, he was supposed to be, like, coming down from the ceiling, and his harness broke, and they didn't, like, test it beforehand, and so then his wife, like, sued him for wrongful death. She got a lot of money. And it happened on live TV, bro. Like, people watch this man die on live TV. It's crazy.
Yeah. And didn't they, like, when they do that now, like, show the replays and stuff, they just skip that part?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. Because there's, like, a 30-second lag or a minute lag. So they usually try not to do that. But anyways, we're going to move into our final segment, which is our eclair. And that's our positive advice. And Micah, I think it's your turn to go first.
Yeah, absolutely. So for my positive advice this week, it's hard, but be open to learning on the fly. You know, one of the biggest things that people don't like in life is big change or rapid motion happening. You know, some people are very, very adept in being able to, be able to adapt very, very quickly. But, you know, the hardest part is taking those things. So, prime example, if somebody gets into a medical situation, there's a car accident that happens, there's, you know, whatever that happens. It's so easy to be in that situation and everything happens so fast, right? That sometimes there are things that you miss. There are things that you're like, oh man, I could have done this better. And so often, at least in my life, I've been embarrassed that things haven't happened, or like, ooh, I should have stepped in here, or I should have like reacted to this quicker, or I should have reacted to this differently, or, you know, I should have had the forethought to grab this beforehand, whatever the case may be. It's, you know, the hard part is when that embarrassment comes in, it's like, ooh, how do I put this? You don't necessarily feel like you can change. It's like, well, you know, maybe I'm just a little dumb, or maybe I'm just a little slow about things. It's like, nah, man. It's like, take those little lessons, and I do believe that the next time something happens, whether it's big, small, or indifferent, you'll not only be able to adjust, but grab onto those lessons. And I feel like fighting through that embarrassment is the biggest part of that.
It's so true, so true. Mine is kind of going back to what we talked about in What Fries My Donuts. Just take a nap, man. That's really what it is, bro. Like, just take a nap. Like, do something that will refill your tank. Like, for me, this week, I just had a stressful day at work all week. And I just before I went home, I like spent $20, went to the arcade and like just did that real quick before I came home because I was like, man, I just got to do something to take a break. So whatever that is for you, if it's gardening, you know, it doesn't have to be like an all day thing, but if it's 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes, just take some, if it's reading a book, like whatever it is that like kind of helps bring you peace or helps refill you or just helps you recharge, just do that. If that's taking a nap, like don't feel ashamed of taking a nap. Kind of like what Michael was saying, like don't feel ashamed. There's always going to be more work for you to do tomorrow. And so don't be ashamed to just take a nap and just to rest. And so that's all I got to say about that.
Sometimes you wake up and you're way more clear and you can kick it into high gear right after you get up, and it's like you can actually do quality work. 'Cause I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, man, is you get tied up in this whole, well, I can't rest right now because if I do, you know, it's that feeling of I'm not doing enough or I'm not getting enough accomplished. But really and truly, if you're that tired, you're not going to be putting out your best product anyways, so it doesn't matter. So it's like get the rest, take the time that you need. And yeah, so man, it's been a great episode. We're over there at Trash Can Network. That's over on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Yeah, man, we got some exciting stuff happening over there. Of course, there's the podcast, other videos coming out. But you know, we also got our aviation videos that are still coming up on our YouTube page. And then we've got another Instagram page that's come up, which is the Aviator Society. That's at the Aviator Society. So if you want to come over there, see a few videos, it's what Last Week in Aviation is going to become. It's just going to become little short stuff. You guys have spoken. I've listened. You like short segments that just fit everything in real concise, and you get the stories and be able to go. I got you there. So you know what? We're going to keep that going. And yeah, that's all I got, man.
You know what else we're gonna keep going? That Jefferson Starship that's gonna sign us out. So, I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.